take your Bibles this evening and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I might get ahead of myself because I don't normally use notes, but I went ahead and printed these out tonight, hoping to stay on track. So someone told me one time, if you think you're behind or you think you're messed up, don't worry. The people you're preaching to don't have any idea anyway. So, you know, if you miss a verse or, you know, think you missed a step or whatever, it doesn't matter. The Lord knows what's going on and the people have no clue. So, unless they're pretty sharp, but, you know. We're going to be reading Psalm 37 from verse 1 through verse 10, and then we'll go back and have a few things to say. Verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Well, that's very applicable in the time we're in now. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and winter as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evil doers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." This is a very timely portion of Scripture. God knowing all things and what was going to happen in the world, he wrote us Scriptures that we can apply in our lives even in 2022. Amen. The Bible never gets old. The Bible never falls short of being there for us and helping us. And if we'll just pay attention to it and apply it to our lives, we'll grow with it and be able to serve the Lord, and it'll be a blessing to us. I had the opportunity, I preached in a little church in Choctaw, Oklahoma one time, and when I got there, the pastor says, "Oh, great, we got something special for you today." I said, "Oh, great." You know, I said, "What's that?" He says, "Well, we have our Christian school graduation today, and you get to preach the message for them." I said, "Oh, gee, I'm glad you didn't tell me." Amen. It was easier to do on the fly than it would have been if I had to try to think of something, you know. But I preached this message to them at that time, and I gave them some very serious advice. Now, remember, like I said, I don't tell jokes, but I do say things that turn out to be funny from time to time. So I told them, I said, three things that will help you get through life. Amen. I said, don't stop loving the Lord. Continue to love the Lord and follow him in all that you do, and he will bless you. Amen. Cease not from prayer. Prayer is our guide to Christ. It is our doorway. It is our, there's another neat word for that, which I can't think of at the moment. But it opens us up to being able to communicate with God. Amen. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. But he wants us to tell him and let him know personally. But the third one I told him, I said, "Now, young people, you pay close attention to this third one, because I said it's most important." And boy, they're all sitting there and they got their little papers and their pencils and they're sharp. And, you know, the preacher, he was over there going, "What? You know? And I said, "Whatever you do, watch out for trucks." And they stared at me like, "What?" I said, "No, seriously, watch out for trucks. Don't step out in front of the truck, you know. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Well, if you step in front of that truck, guess what? Your appointed time just came up." Amen. That was intended to be amusing, but obviously from your faces, it didn't work, okay? And I find that the apology always works better anyway. People laugh more when I apologize. But this is an important portion of Scripture, and I told those young people, I said, "Listen, If you do what it says in Psalm 37, in these first 10 verses, God will bless you and get you through all the problems you might have. Amen? And we think we got problems. We ain't got no problems. 13 to 18-year-olds have problems, okay? Either real or perceived, but they got problems. And people keep saying, well, it ain't the same today as it was when you were growing up. Oh, I don't know. There was peer pressure when I was growing up. When I was in high school, there were those people that liked you because you wore Levi jeans instead of rustlers. There were people who liked you because you wore the proper tennis shoe or whatever the case may be. And it's the same thing today. And a fellow I worked with for about 7 or 8 years after I retired from the military, he told me, he said, well, my wife took my son to the store to buy him some tennis shoes. So I'm going to tell him my age here, okay? I said, so what'd you get him? I said, you get him a pair of PF kids. He said, what? I said, kids, man. PF flowers? You never heard of just like y'all. Y'all ain't heard of them either. When I was in school, kids wore PF kids, flyers. And it was a very popular brand, and that's what people wore at school. That's what the kids wore at school. But he said, oh, no, no, no. He said, my son told me I would never wear that kind of stuff. And I have a bad problem of popping off with what comes to mind. I said, well, if a kid of mine told me they wouldn't wear this or that or the other, I said, you go barefooted. I ain't spending $200 for a pair of tennis shoes. Now, you forget that. But parents will do that, and that's great if you got the money to do that, but you're setting your kid up to be a failure if you do that. Because you're not always going to be there to buy them $200 tennis shoes or $75 blue jeans, if you can even get blue jeans for $75. I know some of them more than that. And the thing that always, the thing that gets me, people will go out and either buy pre-cut jeans and pay $100 for them, or they'll buy a pair of $100 blue jeans, take them home, wash them 4 or 5 times, and then get a razor out and slash the rips in them, you know. Now, I know it was a long time ago when I went to school. I graduated in 1967, but when we got holes in our jeans, we ran home and begged Mama to put one of them iron-on patches. You know what I'm saying? But we begged her to put them on the inside, you know, so you didn't see it was a big old patch there to cover that little bitty hole. You know what I'm saying? But times change, and I understand that. But the Word of God doesn't change. And we just need to follow what God says. He says here in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You look all around us, and I'm going to talk on this a little bit more when we get down to verse number 9. But you look around, you see all the rich people. You see all the people who don't seem to do much worthwhile, but they always got lots of money, and they live in big, huge houses and all that. And from what few people I've known that had money, and I've known some people that had some serious money, they're not happy. Somebody said, wouldn't you be happy to win that big old lottery coming up here, that billion-dollar lottery? I said, maybe for about 5 minutes. But then the phone's going to start ringing, and people you have no idea who they are going to be your 29th cousin on your mama's side. Oh, Cousin Bill, I got a problem. You got to help me. About 9 or 10 years ago, they found a man in a dumpster downtown behind City Hall. He had won 3 lotteries in his life in the state of Florida. And he died a pauper with not a penny to his name. And they found him in a dumpster. Now, I don't know if he just crawled into the dumpster and died, or somebody killed him and pitched him in there. I don't know. But that money didn't do anything for him. Amen. My brother was telling me this morning, said, well, you know, the first thing they want to do is go out and buy Mama a new house. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And then they're going to want to buy Grandma a new house. I said, well, that's fine. But then, you know, Uncle Charlie, as you never heard of, is going to call you up and say, hey, man, my business is failing. I could really use your help. And unfortunately, that is the way things go. But we're not to be envious of those people just because they're blessed now financially. If they don't have Christ, that money ain't going to do them any good. You notice I excelled in English when I was in high school. We learned words like ain't, you know, which is a proper word in the dictionary now, okay? So, can't fuss us. They used to fuss at us when we were in school, but it's accepted now, I guess, so. But people are blessed providentially, or God blesses them, and we envy those folks. But we shouldn't envy what's going to happen to them. We shouldn't envy all the headaches and heartaches they're going to have. It was said a long, long time ago that money can't buy happiness. And that is true. It does buy a pretty good brand of unhappiness, but it doesn't buy happiness. But we're not to fret about those folks. We're not to worry about those folks. God, for whatever reason, chose to bless them, bless their endeavors, and they've made money or whatever the case may be. They've been smart business people or whatever. But without Christ, they don't have anything. Amen? I consider myself prosperous. We own our own home. We don't have any credit cards. We don't have any credit card debt. Guys, you can't get better than this. My wife gave me a truck for my birthday last year. And I ain't talking about one of them little ones that come in the box either. I'm talking about it's sitting out front out there. So I consider myself prosperous. God has really blessed us. My son and my daughter my daughter are saved. The majority of our grandkids who are old enough to understand are saved. My mom got saved before she died. My dad was supposed to have been saved way back in 1964, 65, somewhere along in there. So our family has been blessed. God's been good to us. Amen. Now, we've had some people in our family that have fallen by the wayside and they've suffered some. But all in all, God's been good. And he's cared for us and he's taken care of us. And we have nothing to complain about. Amen. If I lost everything tomorrow, I wouldn't turn against God. If my brother were to win the lottery after I kicked him out of my house, I would say, I'm happy for you. But I wouldn't fret about it. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Amen. We look around us, and my wife reminded me again, not to talk about politics, but just looking at the general situation, okay, not any person or whatever. But you see how things are being done in this country now. And you say, how can those people be blessed? How can they have all this money? How can they have fine cars and fancy homes and all that sort of stuff? Well, again, Tom, when we get down to verse 9, I'm going to talk on that specifically. But we're not to be concerned about that. We're just to live our life for Christ and allow him to bless us. Amen. Verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Amen. It tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Well, that's an important part for me. Amen. I like that verily you're going to be fed part. All right. But I like my creature comforts. I like my comforts. I like food, you know. My wife made pork chops tonight, and man, it was good. Amen. And I was asking the guys in the coffee room there a minute ago, I said, have you ever had boiled potatoes, Irish potatoes, okay, and boiled sweet potatoes and green beans together? And after they got past those startled looks, like, what is he talking about? I said, hey, it's good. She makes it all the time, and I like it. Now, first time I saw it, I was thinking, I'm not so sure about that. But it tasted good. It just tasted good every time she's done it. But she treats me well. She takes care of me. Amen. She feeds me. But we're to trust the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God's going to make sure of that. And then verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Amen. I've heard that all my life. Before I got saved and after I've been saved, just delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. Now, this is not a gimme card, all right? But what it is, God will give you the desires of your heart. But only those desires that are in his will anyway. Amen. Lord, I need that 75-inch color smart TV. That's my desire. Well, that's fine, but God ain't going to give it to you. And I watch ball games and I see these people praying on the sidelines that God's going to bless this team or that team. God can care less about who wins the football game. All right? Now, basketball might be a little different, but as far as, especially when the University of North Carolina's playing, but football, baseball, God don't care nothing about that. But he'll bless you. And it says he'll give you the desires of your heart. If your desire is that your children will get saved, guess what? God's going to bless that. If your desire is that you can reach out to others and tell them about the Lord and be a part of their coming to Christ, God will bless that. Amen. Those desires that are following God's will anyway, he's going to bless those things. But he's not going to give you a new Cadillac. He's not going to buy you a 75-inch. You ever seen a 75-inch color TV? You ever know, how many folks go to Costco? I'm sure Sam's is the same way. You notice when you walk through the front door of Costco, they got the biggest, prettiest, clearest TV you ever seen in your life? I used to work in appliances, okay? You know how those TVs look so good? And they never look that good when you get them home? Because they are showing recordings, special recordings, that's tied to that TV or group of TVs in that section, okay? And so everything comes through perfectly clear and sharp and everything. And, of course, they always have the big ones up front. It's like candies at the drugstore in Walmart. You know, when you're checking out, you got the candy and the gum and the drinks and everything. Well, that's the same way with TVs. You know, that's those emotional buys. You know, you put that there, people want to see that and grab it. I thought to myself one time, well, that'd be nice. But what I learned when I was working at Sears in television and things, you got a 75-inch TV screen, you got to have a 40-foot room to put it in. Because if you don't, you won't be able to, it won't be clear. You won't be able to see it because you're too close to it. But it might be all right, but that's not something you really need to bother God about, amen? Because, again, he don't care what kind of TV you got, what size of TV you got. But if we delight ourselves in the Lord, God will take care of our children, amen? God will bless our grandchildren, which are much better than our children. Amen. Grandkids are the greatest thing ever invented by God. I told my daughter and my son, too, for that matter, when they started bringing the babies over, I said, y'all just drop them off and y'all go do something else, okay? We don't need y'all, all right? But them grandbabies, I never thought anything could be as great as a grandchild. So now I'm harassing the grandkids because I got two. They're old enough to be married and have kids. And I tell them I want great grandkids. But I got a feeling if grandbabies are better than babies, then great grandbabies have got to be the best of all. You know what I'm saying? And those people who live long enough to get great great grandkids, wow. I don't want to live that long. But I think that would be a wonderful thing. But kids are wonderful, and God blesses you with them, and they are blessed because you're their parents. Amen. If you're saved and you're following the Lord, that's the greatest blessing your children can have. Because God's going to protect them. He's going to watch out for them. And he's going to provide for them. And they will be blessed as well as you. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. What is the it there? What is it that he's going to bring to pass? He just said he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust that he's going to provide for you, that he's going to care for you, he's going to take care of you. And when you get sick or when you have problems come your way, God is always there to help you. Amen. And to bless you. Again, I've been very fortunate in my life. I've got a issue with my pancreas, but it's stable. Not growing at all. They found it 2 years ago. And when they first found it, I had to do a video conference with a surgeon down in Miami, at the VA down there. And I had went online, you know, and don't ever do that. Don't look online about diseases and stuff, because you're going to have them. Sure as shooting. If it says, you know, that one of the symptoms is this, guess what? You got that symptom. You didn't before, but you do now because you read about it. But he told me, he said, listen, he said, I had a guy who was my patient for 33 years. And when they discovered his issue, it was exactly like yours. He said, we never did anything to it. And he lived for another 30-some-odd years before he died. I'll be an old man. I mean, I'm old now, but, you know, if I live another 33 years, boy, that's going to be something, man. I'll be 110, 112, something like that. They'll have to drag me around, you know, and put me in a chair. Well, I mean, that'd be terrible. But God is blessing, and he's keeping me healthy. I was telling somebody earlier, when I got married, I only weighed 130 pounds. After the first year, I weighed 160 pounds. 2 years ago, I weighed 282 pounds. When I went to the hospital last week, I weighed 252, so I've dropped back some. And I'd love to find a way to drop back. Did I tell you all this before? Yes. I did? See, that's what happens. So you forget things, you know. But anyway, God has blessed in that, and I've been able to lose the weight. Now, I got a sister who's a year older than me, and I never let her forget that. She just turned 74 last week. And I told her, I said, I'll never be as old as you, okay? But she has diabetes also and a few other things. And she's constantly telling me, you can't eat that. I said, what are you talking about? No, you got diabetes. You can't eat that, whatever that is, you know. I said, Judy, I can eat any stinking thing I want. But the doctor said, I've been doing it for 2 years. I haven't changed anything other than I quit drinking Gatorade. That's how we found out I had it, because I was working outdoors all the time and hot and sweating, and I drink a lot of Gatorade. I drink two or three of those big things of Gatorade every day, and that's what got me. And I finally, when I went to the doctor, he did a blood test, and he came in there, man, whistling through his lips and going, mm-mm-mm. I said, what's the matter? He said, man, your pancreas is shut down. It ain't working at all. I said, what are you talking about? He said, your blood sugar is almost 400. I said, really? What's blood sugar? I never heard. I mean, I didn't know anything about that stuff. But he told me, he said, yeah. He said, for your age, you should be like 110, 100. That's another thing. They think everybody's supposed to be exactly the same, you know? It don't work that way. But when I went to the hospital to have a blood draw done a couple weeks ago, they did some other blood work, and my doctor called me and said, hey, now this was in the morning, I did not fast, and my blood number at the time, my sugar level, was 140. And I said, I'm 73 years old. That's fantastic, man. I live with that every day. But then they want you to go lower. You know, they want you to be in that 110, 115 range. But then they'll tell you after a while when you don't seem to be doing as well as they think you should. I'm going to get back to this in a minute. But they tell you, well, you're doing good for your age. You know, my A1C was like 7.5. He said, oh, that's not bad at all for your age. And I'm going, what's that got to do with anything? I don't understand a lot of that stuff. But, and I'm sorry to bore you with all that, but it just came to mind. Because I was talking about God blessing, amen? And he is blessing. I had that stroke in 2016. And praise God, it was bad. We were at a place looking for school for my grandson, Benji, and I'm sitting there, and they were talking, listening to everybody run on about what the school was and how they'd help and all that. And I had an itch on my face, so I reached up and scratched my face. You know, you don't think about it probably, but you know the feel of your hand on you. And I was scratching my face, and I said, man, who is that? There's some monster touching me. That's what I thought. I said, this is some guy, some monster with long fingernails, you know? So I told her, I said, we got to go to the house. I don't feel well. We need to go home. So being the man that I am, I jumped in the car and I drove us home. And we got on our street out here on Betty Street, and I'm driving down the street looking for the house. She says, you going to stop? I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, you just passed the house. I said, where? She said, a couple houses back. That's how far out I was. And so then my daughter, bless her heart, she came and said, oh, we got to take you to the hospital. I said, you don't take me to no hospital. But they did and found out that I'd had a stroke. And fortunately, it was a relatively mild one. And you may not think so as I'm standing here talking to you, but there were no lasting effects other than memory. You know, I have some memory issues. I can be talking to you about the color of chocolate, and next thing I know, if you say something and I'm supposed to respond, I'll be like, what are we talking about? Because I will have forgotten all about it. And that's really the only thing that's changed. But I do forget a lot of things, and I haven't forgotten this. Okay, we're going to get back. But of all of that, God blessed. Amen. I was a little scared when they wheeled me into the hospital, into the emergency room, and this doctor come over there, and she started talking about all this stuff they had to do, and we're going to do this test and that test and all that. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what in the world is happening? And then she comes back. She said, well, we found something right here. I said, what did you find? We don't know what it is, but it's right there. I said, well, that's encouraging. Then they put me upstairs in a room, and the neurologist comes in. Well, you're in trouble when the neurologist comes and talk to you, okay? But she came in there, and she said, you have left side deficiency. I said, where was the stroke? She said, oh, it's over here. I said, then why do I have left side deficiency? Why don't I have right side deficiency? But it's backwards. If you have a stroke, it affects the other side, you know. And they had me draw pictures and color pictures and all that. I'm not in the fourth grade, okay? They finally determined that I was safe enough to go home. Not well enough, just safe enough to go home. And they sent me home. And after two or three days, I'm back to what I consider normal. But they started sending me to a cardiologist. I was wondering about what that was all about. And then he explained to me, he said, well, the clot that went through your brain came out of your heart. And I was thinking, wait a minute, I've always heard when you have blood clots, they start like in your legs or someplace and they work their way up to the heart. You know, I never heard about one passing through or coming out of. But he said, yeah, it came out of your heart. And he told me more in 5 minutes than that whole medical staff did at the hospital in the 4 or 5 days I was there. He took a piece of paper, and I've always thought it'd be neat to do this. He took a piece of paper on a clipboard, he held it upside down, and he drew my head and my neck and my shoulders, and he drew me. And then he drew the heart, and he took a line, he ran a line up and across my chest and up, and then up my neck and into my heart and my brain. And he said, that's how it traveled. And it came up from your heart. And I said, well, wow. I said, thank you, Jesus. I can still think and talk. Well, for the most part, I can still think and talk. But he told me more in that 15 minutes than anybody else could. So I had to see him about 3 or 4 times. And I finally asked him, I said, why am I coming to a cardiologist? He said, well, it came out of your heart, so they're concerned that, you know, there may be more. I said, well, that kind of makes sense. So I asked him, I said, listen, I said, you've examined me quite a bit now. I said, can you tell me what the results were of that stroke? He says, because I told him, I said, I feel fine. I can walk, I can talk, and I can hear, I can see. He says, well, that's wonderful. But he said, overall, you've lost about 10%. And so my first thought was, well, how do you know what the percentage was before I had the stroke? But, you know, that's the way I think, so I'm sorry. But in verse 5, he said, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. These are very valid and very important things. Basically, fret not. Otherwise, don't be worried, don't be concerned. God's there and he's going to bless us, okay? Verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, don't do evil because you see evil around you or someone has done something evil to you. Don't respond in kind, all right? And then 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 73. When I first time I read this, thinking about this subject, it really opened my eyes and did a lot for me as far as understanding God's intention. Amen. I'll get there in a second. Psalm 73. There we go. Start reading in verse number 1. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And that's what I was trying to say a few minutes ago. We're not to be envious of the prosperous. We're not to be envious of the wicked. Amen. I see these athletes that are making $20 and $30 million a year talking about being deprived and put out. If I made $30 million a year, you could say anything you want to about me. Well, it wouldn't bother me a bit. But these folks, I mean, they're constantly complaining, you know, and people look at that and they say, oh, man, that guy makes $30 million a year for playing a game? That's got to be wonderful. Well, it is for him, but don't you desire what he has. And don't be upset because he has it, amen? God has blessed him in his way, and he'll bless you as well. Verse 4 says, for there are no bounds, no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Boy, that's the case, isn't it? Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in righteousness. Now drop down to 15. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood therein. Understood I therein. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places, and thou castest them down into destruction. See, God knows their end. Amen. They may have everything they think they need and want now, but without Christ, they're going to slip into hell, and they're going to be in hell forever. And all their good looks and all the money they've wasted to get the good looks, talking more about the ladies than the men, although men spend a lot of money on plastic surgery and things of that nature. But all that's going to be for naught. Without Christ, God's going to allow them to slip off into hell for all eternity. So they're not really blessed. They have a temporary blessing that they can enjoy while they're here. But we have an eternal blessing. Amen. I saw a picture today on Facebook, and there's a lot of sorry stuff on Facebook, but this was neat today. And the title of the picture was First Day in Heaven. And it showed this young lady, and she's running up and grabbing, I'll assume, her husband around his neck and jumped up, you know, her legs kicked up behind her, and he was squeezing her real good. And I got to thinking about that. When I close my eyes in death, I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to see Jesus. Amen. Amen. And after I worship him for a while and pray and ask for his blessing some more, I'm going to get to see my mama and my daddy and other folks I know who were born again and have gone on before me. I'll get to see them again. Amen. My mom and dad were divorced, and I told my mom one time, I said, "You better be nice to him." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because you both got saved, and one day you're going to be living side by side up in heaven." I said, "You never know who your neighbor's going to be, so you might want to treat him a little bit better, you know. It'd be awful to spend eternity with somebody you didn't like, you know." I have a funny way of thinking about things. I have what I consider a sanctified imagination. And I can just imagine something like that happening. Amen. But I know that when I see my mama and my daddy, amen, I'm not a mama's boy, but she was special. And when I see her again, I'm going to be rejoicing for all eternity. But you hear these preachers, especially Pentecostals, they'll get up there and they'll start talking about, "Well, first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven, I'm going to run up to Jesus, I'm going to jump up and grab him around his neck, and we're just going to worship for 1,000 years. And I'm saying to myself, "You ain't going to get within a mile of Jesus. One, there's going to be too many people there, but secondly, you're not just going to run up and grab him. There's going to be a little more respect and decorum going on there than that. But God will see us. We'll see him. We'll know who he is. He'll know us because he knows us now." Amen. And he'll bless us. I heard a guy preaching a couple of days ago. He said, "You know, when people die and little guys and moms, when Junior goes on, he ain't going to be sitting on a cloud flapping wings." Amen. He's not going to become an angel. He's still going to be Junior. Just like he is here. And if you die before your wife, when she gets there, you're going to be just like she is. Amen. And she'll be just like you are. Just like you are here. Except thoroughly sanctified. Amen. There is a story, and I'll quit. There was a story about this rich man and woman. And they wouldn't travel. They traveled a lot. And they would never fly on the same airplane. And someone asked her one time, said, "Why don't you fly with your husband? You're going to Hawaii, he's going to take a flight, and then you're going to take a flight. Why aren't you going to fly out there together?" And she said, "Well, we're afraid that if something happens, we'll both die at the same time. And we don't want to do that." And so, sure enough, not too long after that, the plane he was on crashed, and he died. And he went to heaven. He was saved. He went to heaven. And about 3 years later, she was on a plane that crashed and she died. And the man telling the story said that when she got to heaven, it was 3 years later for her that he was just stepping through the gates. And she was right there behind him. First time I heard that, man, I got goosebumps all up and down my backbone. I thought, "Oh, my soul. That's the way it's going to be." Because there's no time. There's no time up there. But she was right there with him, even though he had gone on 3 years before. Ain't God great? Aren't the prospects that we have to look forward to great? And if we know Christ is our Savior, if we have received him by faith and received the cleansing by his precious blood for our sins, then one day we too will be together in heaven. Amen. I don't know how he's going to work it out, but the Bible says there's no marriage and giving in marriage in heaven. So we won't be married anymore, but I guess we can be best friends. Amen. Or maybe not. You never know. Yeah, she's going to get me for sure. But whatever it's going to be, however it's going to work out. Like, you ever thought about the thing Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you," John 14, "I will come again and receive into myself that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing me a mansion. And by that verse, he's preparing her a mansion. Which one are we going to live in? Are they going to be side by side? Is it going to be a duplex? You know? Are they going to be duplexes in heaven? I heard a preacher say one time it's going to be tar paper shacks up there, and I thought, no, there ain't going to be no tar paper shacks in heaven. But he was talking about people who serve the Lord and work hard while they're here, they'll receive mansions, but the rest of us loafers will get tar paper shacks. Hey. Like I heard this one preacher say, hey, I'll be happy to pull weeds out of the rose gardens in heaven if I'm in heaven. Well, just like tar paper shacks, there ain't going to be no weeds up there either. But I understand what he was saying. If I get to heaven, that's enough. Amen. And we can know we can be there if we receive him by faith. Amen. Now, I know I ran on and said some silly stuff tonight, but just understand this. God loves you. God wants to provide for you. He cares for you. He's going to keep us healthy. Amen. And if he don't, so what? Amen. What did the three Hebrew children say when Nebuchadnezzar told him you need to bow down to me and worship me? And he says, well, the leader says, well, I know my God's going to protect me. But even if he don't, I'm not going to bow and worship your statue. Amen. But he will. He's going to. He's promised us that he's going to care for us and provide for us. And I'm a little homesick. Amen. I would miss my wife and my children, but hey, if he called me home tonight, that'd be all right. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to get so morbid there. Let's all stand and bow our eyes and head and eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, and Lord, say that something was said serious enough that it'd be a help to somebody. And Lord, that you would bless and protect. We love you so much. Amen. And so many times people come to church and they hear the preaching of God's word, maybe even agree with it, and then turn and walk out and step back out into the world and live their life as if they don't know you at all. Lord, I pray you would bless this assembly. And Lord, that you would meet the needs of all who are here. Give safety as we travel home tonight, Lord. Prepare us that we might come back again on Sunday. Bless Pastor and his family, Lord. Keep them safe on their trip. Lord, we pray for Gabriel, who's in the hospital, sick again, I understand. Pray, Lord, you would be with them and the family, Lord, bless them. And Lord, I can't imagine anything worse than having a sick child to that extent. And I pray that you would bless there. Keep them safe, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. We're going to take up our dollar offering. If you have a dollar offering, you going to sing a song? Okay. And then I'll say something else.
We'll sing the chorus for number 44. I think we'll have the words for this one. There we go. Nope. High C. We'll together, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home.